नमस्ते सरस्वती देव गौरवाणी प्रसादानय नरवशेष शनिवार पाशाचरेश श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरवाक्षवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Here we see Bhagavad Gita, chapter 29, verse 5. Buddhim Buddhu Pramadam Vidyam Mama Iti Vyat Pratam Nyam Adishtaya Dehismin Kumar Mukte Shabir Gunan Buddhim tu pramadam vidyam Mamaham iti yatkratam Yam adhisthaya dehismin Paman bong tek shabir gunan Buddhim, intelligence. So then, Pramadam, young woman, Vidya, one should know, Mama, my, aham, I, iti, thus, yatkratam, done by intelligence, yam, which intelligence, adishtaya, taking shelter of, dehe, in the body, asmin, this, Puman, a living entity, Bhukte, suffers and enjoys, Akshabi, by the senses, Gunan, modes of material nature. Translation, the great sage Narada continued, the word Pramada mentioned in this regard refers to material intelligence or ignorance. It is to be understood as such. When one takes shelter of this kind of intelligence, he identifies himself with the material body. Influenced by the material consciousness of I and mine, it begins to enjoy and suffer through senses. Thus a living entity is entrapped. For part of material existence, so-called intelligence is actually ignorance. When intelligence is cleared of, it is called Buddha Yoga. In other words, when intelligence is dovetailed with the desires of Krishna, it is called Buddha Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Real intelligence means linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this is done, the Supreme Personality of Godhead from within gives one the real intelligence by which one can return home back to Godhead. Intelligence in the material world is described in this verse as pramada, because in material existence the living entity falsely claims things to be his. He thinks, I am the monarch of all I survey. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him. Even the body and the senses do not belong to him, for they are given to him by the grace of the Lord to satisfy his different propensities through the material energy. Nothing actually belongs to the living entity, but he becomes mad after everything, claiming, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Janasimaho yam aham mame ti. This is called delusion. Nothing belongs to the living entity, but he claims that everything belongs to him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that this false intelligence be purified. When the mirror of intelligence is polished, the real activities of the living entity begin. This means that when a person comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, his real intelligence acts. At that time he knows that everything belongs to Krishna and nothing belongs to him. As long as one thinks that everything belongs to him, he's in material consciousness, and when he knows superfluity that everything belongs to Krishna is in Krishna consciousness. Translation, the great sage Narada continued the word Pramada, mentioned this regard refers to material intelligence or ignorance, and is to be understood as such. When one takes shelter of this kind of intelligence, he identifies himself with the material body. Influenced by the material consciousness of eye and mind, he begins to enjoy and suffer through his senses. Thus the living entity is entrapped. So Narada is further explaining this allegory. In the previous chapter, as it was mentioned, that Paramjana met a beautiful woman, and he became very attracted to her and married her, and she became his queen. So that is, Pramada means a woman. So here, Narada Muni is saying that this woman, the queen, is Buddhi, which means intelligence. But, of course, intelligence has a broad spectrum of meaning. Broadly, it means, of course, that element of the material world, which along with mind helps the human being function internally. And it is the cause of viveka, or discriminating power. So, on the other hand, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, actually we can call this a type of ignorance. Because, as it is said here, this buddhi has this logic in which the person thinks in terms of I and mine. So as long as the intelligence is thinking like that, no matter how much we discriminate and logically analyze things, ultimately it is illusory, because one is thinking in terms of I and mine. So this, of course, we know is an aspect of ultimately ahankara, where we do ahankara, we identify with the body, and then we think of the body, I am the body, and the body has senses, and the senses contact sense objects, and then we get some enjoyment from objects in the material world, and we think this is my enjoyment, or whatever. I am the body, and the objects of the material world are mine for my enjoyment. So that is the ultimate consciousness that comes out of the jiva in the material world, starting with his ignorance and ahankara, etc. So buddhi is not, of course, the only function. We have so many other things there. We have the mind, and we have the senses, and we have the ahankara as well. So buddhi is one particular function, internal function, which is also based on this I and mine concept. Due to this, then one begins to enjoy with the senses. He enjoys the gunas in the material world using his senses. Of course, enjoying in the material world, we don't actually call buddhi, that's activity. But behind that, of course, we have desires, and we have the buddhi, which acts as the power to fulfill our desires. How are we going to get these objects so we can enjoy? So then buddhi acts to help us do that. It gives us means of doing that. So this is quite highly developed in the human being. It's not developed so much in the animals. We know that, of course, animals have some little intelligence. They can do some tricks and this and that and whatever. And some animals are more intelligent than others. But nevertheless, we don't see them becoming extremely logical in their abilities, etc. But we see this in the human being. Human being can do many things animals can't do. And it's because of intelligence. So therefore, they can build huge buildings, they can make airplanes and cars and so many other things that dogs and cats can't do. So, of course, we're impressed with that. But the basis of this, of course, is ultimately this aham mama, that we're thinking in terms of this is mine, and I am a material body. So all the intelligence is used for this. But that is not the only use of intelligence. If one comes to Sattva-guna, then one is able to distinguish, I'm not the body. I am actually Atma. So that is Sattva-guna intelligence, buddhi. Rajaguna and Tamaguna will think in terms of I and mine, but Sattva-guna intelligence will think I am not the body. So, of course, this is still material, but nevertheless, in Sattva we have some spiritual intelligence there in the Sattva mode. So, buddhi also has that aspect to it. When a person takes to bhakti, then we have something else operating. It is not Sattva-guna intelligence either. How is it that one accepts the Supreme Lord? Is it intelligence that does that? Not actually. It is something else. We call that faith, which is, we can say, a trait, like almost a trace of bhakti. And that is in the soul. So this buddhi is actually a material function. But spiritual intelligence is also there, and that comes from the Atma. So the ability to accept the Supreme Lord and our position of service to the Lord, that is a function of spiritual intelligence from the Atma, not from the buddhi of the material world, which is affected by the gunas. So we also have intelligence which is beyond the gunas of the material world, and that is what functions in bhakti. So, therefore, we have to make a distinction between these types of intelligence. The way of doing that is to understand that material intelligence functions to help us enjoy the gunas of the material world. And of course, that intelligence is divided into gunas itself. We have tamaguna intelligence and rajaguna intelligence and sattvaguna intelligence. So, in tamaguna, what do we distinguish? Not much, because it's ignorance. So buddhi means some sort of distinguishing process, but in tamaguna, one is completely bewildered. So therefore, everything becomes opposite. We cannot distinguish, but rather we distinguish things in the opposite way. So black is white and white is black, for instance. We see everything opposite. And all our values are upside down, completely opposite of what they should be. So that is the intelligence in tamaguna. Very, very useless. In Rajaguna, intelligence is quite active, but it is useful for getting the objects of enjoyment. And intelligence in Sattvaguna is useful for understanding we're not the material body. So of the three intelligences, obviously Sattvaguna is superior to the rest. Nevertheless, that is only Sattva. So to accept the Lord, that requires transcendental intelligence or spiritual intelligence. So that is what takes place through bhakti yoga. We get that spiritual intelligence. So in the story of Paranjana, we have Paranjana meeting this queen, or this woman, who was his intelligence, and then he got very attracted to her. Why? Because she was able to satisfy him. It is through her that he could operate his senses very nicely and enjoy in the material world. So that is material intelligence. It's useful for the enjoyment of the jiva in the material world. So that is why we should not glorify material intelligence, because it is a cause of bondage. And even the intelligence to study in jnana, even that intelligence, you say, is only sattvic, because it distinguishes body from Atma. So it is nothing so great after all. Whereas the person who takes to the process of bhakti, he is the actual intelligent person. And he's got that position because of mercy of devotees and the Supreme Lord over many lifetimes. So that person should be put in the highest position. His type of buddhi should be glorified the most. The other types of buddhi are simply causes of bondage in the material world. Well, as long as he's relating everything to Krishna, then it is non-material intelligence. If he's doing it in terms of a sense gratification, then it is material intelligence. If his motives are, of course, we can say, well, in sattva guna, we're not working for our own satisfaction, but we're working for atma gyan. But even that is material. What to speak of anything less than that? Yeah? So the only thing that is non-material is when it is for Krishna. We're doing it for Krishna, so intelligence used for that purpose is good.
This means that atma is separate
form.
This picture is not the atma.
What's that?
Yes,
spiritual intelligence is with the atma, not with the, it's not the material element, so to speak.
That means atma can independently think with
it. Yeah, just like you can perceive independently also with your spiritual senses. Even if you're unconscious materially, your eyes are closed, you can still perceive the Lord. A blind person can perceive the Lord with his spiritual senses. Spiritual intelligence are useful.
So both of them said that we can be feeling the same, feeling
material. Well, when a devotee becomes advanced, then He uses the material body and the material senses and the material mind and the material intelligence to become useful. So it's not that they stop functioning altogether, they become vehicles for the person also. So they're also useful for him. But the devotee doesn't ultimately depend on those things because he has the spiritual senses and spiritual intelligence, etc. But they're useful as long as the material world is there. So he engages them in Krishna's service. And they become spiritualized in the process. No, it could. In other words, you could go into a samadhi state in the material world. In that state, then your senses stop working and everything stops. Material functions stop when you enter into a samadhi state. And the yogi, for instance, also, his whole purpose is to stop the functions of material, senses, mind, etc. Chitta Vritti Niroda. That's the first sutra of Patanjali. To stop the functioning of chitta, of material consciousness, which includes everything. Everything stops. Ahankara, buddhi, manas, senses, all that stop. And then he has samadhi. But he still has a material body at that point. But first, temporarily, it stops functioning. Well, as long as that's steady. If it's 1 second, then he's 1 second and beyond the modes or whatever, but then he goes back to the material world again when he's thinking material things. Well, if we think that that's the ultimate goal, then obviously it's not correct. If it's only, as I said, in the material world, we use the material body and the senses and the mind intelligence for doing practical things in the material world. We use it for serving Krishna. We also use it to support our material body in the material world. To that extent, okay, we can use it. Okay? But obviously to think that's the goal in life, then it becomes a material thing.
Gracias.